This is a SIVA podcast, a series which is part of the exhibition Institution Building. Institution Building displays and questions the diverse elements of a museum, from the most visible parts, such as the exhibition, to the often unseen or hidden components, such as archive, administration, maintenance. The exhibition will grow week by week, with an institutional element added sequentially, presenting the institution as a cadavre exquis, an ever-changing organism constantly de- and reconstructing its raison d'être.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have Keller Easterling with us. Keller is a New York-based architect and writer and professor at Yale University. Hi, Keller.
Hi.
We are meeting today to discuss your most recent book, Medium Design, which will be somehow at the center of this talk and conversation. In the context of our current show, Institution Building, somehow addressing questions of the medium design and also who actually takes part, who's the audience in that medium. Previous books by Keller included Extra Statecraft, which I think is a very well-known book on the power of infrastructure space, which examines global infrastructure as a medium of polity. Other books include Enduring Innocence, then Organization Space, and a book that we published together, Substraction, which considers building removal, or how to put the development machine into a reverse. But let's speak about medium design. I think what's fascinating in this book is this somehow provocative but timely shift of emphasis in the discussion, the shift from emphasis from object and figure to a much larger field, I think to many people, probably a very vague field, where spatial problems and non-spatial problems are mixed. So it's like you called it a kind of big mixing machine.
Well, I'm trying to offer some the kind of spatial thinking that designers do, architects, urbanists, and trying to offer a spatial medium as a kind of big mixing chamber for the design that anyone with any kind of training does. We're always all managing potentials within our surrounding environment, and that is a kind of, you know, design. Everybody is a designer. If that speaks a little bit to your question about audience, everybody is operating on managing the potentials in this environment. And I'm trying to say that really everybody does this all day long. It's just not something we really talk about. We have a lot of expressions for the figures and the objects, but not much for the chemistry between things.
And in this kind of new configuration that you propose, where basically the audience or those who participate are a much larger crowd, would you expect that there are still kind of formats that would almost operate in the end like objects or figures that where you that could work as tools to negotiate debates or discussions on design.
Right. Well, I'm trying to offer forms for how one works on manages these potentials, but the forms are forms of interplay. So they are forms that have a longer temporal dimension. They are an ecology of pieces. They involve the potentials of solids, like the kinds of, you know, forms that we design with geometry and so on, but they're not limited to that. And I mean, that's the kind of work that any good architect or urbanist has always done, in a way, or any person who can kind of manage a situation elegantly. But what one is designing is a series of relationships. So even, you know, thinking about cultural innovation as not being, you know, innovation not being kind of the new technology or the shiny new thing, the vaccine, the app, the whatever, but the innovation is the relationship between incumbent and emergent technologies. And it's the quality of that relationship that one thinks of as either more or less sophisticated.
Mm. And is there these relations, because I think the fantastic thing for architects, of course, in this old world of object fetishism, is that there were very easy and direct ways to communicate this, photographs or beautiful drawings or renderings. In a more relational operation, what would be, how can one describe that? What would be the new aesthetics of this?
Yeah, it's really hard to describe this performance of relationships. I mean, in some ways, the way that you're approaching this exhibition, or even the future of an exhibition space, is leaning in this way, right? To I mean, it's not like performance art. It is, kind of relational form. It's different from that, you know, as Boyaud had used that word, but it's, and I think it's also something that one is enacting all the time, every day. The book tries to give some examples of, you know, like how you manage the stuff in your fridge, how you manage the temperaments of a room. So it is on the one hand something very common and yet underexploited, and you're right, difficult to represent if there's an expectation about kind of, you know, the singular view.
I think what's a real challenge, I think that it's actually a thought I had while reading your book, is because I totally agree that somehow exploiting that these new relationships is probably crucial for the future of design. At the same time, one can perceive attempts from tech industry and others to actually exploit this. So one could argue that maybe facilities management is exactly doing this in a kind of really rather spooky way or cynical way, but it's somehow based on relationships or exploiting relationships and banal things. For instance, the fridge, I think it's an amazing example. I think that the fridge as a site that can be exploited. So one can imagine all sorts of interactions, like digital and online interactions between, say, the health industry. So someone, a voice telling me, okay, don't eat this ham now because your blood pressure is already a problem.
Yeah. It's interesting that you would, it is interesting to think about the kind of management culture approach to this, the kind of corporate management culture approach to this, which is which is largely trying to make kind of the most universal approach and make it most universal by making it also having the least content. So the more vacuous it is, the more it is easily adopted and spread. But I think what one's talking about with this medium design is much more situated and particular situations that it can nevertheless be quite explicit. It's not. I mean, this is the strange thing about our kind of, you know, modern enlightenment mind. If we can't declare it, if we can't see it, for some reason it's a kind of a voodoo or some kind of vague, blurry, you know, mystical thing, whereas it's not at all. It's absolutely practical, can be absolutely explicit set of relationships and instructions that play out over a period of time. But the sort of habit of mind that at least attends the version I'm talking about in medium design is not looking for the one or the one and only, but looking for multiple varied ways, situated ways of thinking about the application of this interplay, not looking for the one interplay, not looking for the one corporate management style, yeah, looking for the way in which multiple specifics also have a powerful political and aesthetic capacity.
Mm. You also say that problems can be assets in that respect. So basically things that maybe cannot be resolved by classic architectural tools or solutions should by designers or architects not be seen as a problem, or kind of a problem that would basically kill their project or criticize their project, but as something that might enrich it.
Right. This is a book that's not looking at either singular solutions or singular evils. It's you know, not looking at solutions at all. Solutions are things that are kind of weak positions, in my view. They're the thing that actually eliminates information from a context. But problems are things that have potential. It's like seeing NA and CL in the periodic table, and rather than kind of plucking them from their context, as seeing their potential in combination. That's the thrill of, you know, how the molecules combine. And problems have potentials, negative one, positive one, same distance from zero. So that means, you know, politically, practically, that one can pick up anything and start to work. One's not waiting for the perfect moment, the perfect revolution, the solution, but can even pick up, for instance, one can pick up all the things that capital has discarded. Capital with its kind of stupid automatic stupid abstractions that cause automatic harm, all those things that have fallen off the capitalist ledger are incredibly valuable, and all sorts of other community economies can be combined. So finding, trying to take things away from being like trafficked mortgage products and putting them into community economies that redouble values, that aren't stupid like capital is stupid, you know, that, you know, you plant one seed, you get 10, you know, capital's too stupid to get that. It's the same with these community economies. They redouble their value. They have compounding values, not because you had to tilt the playing field or do some kind of criminal sneakiness, but but that's just because that's how they work. So it's the combination of problems maybe just too segregated from each other.
Mm-hmm. In that sense, you seem to propose, also to me at least, a really different profile of the figure of the architect. The architect, someone who, well, even if you think back about the etymology of the word architect, it's already this kind of hybrid being between a kind of craft, kind of technique, and on the other hand, this idea of a principle and of politics. So, which I think is a fascinating combination, and we're probably facing that dilemma all the time. But you seem to push this actually really further.
Well, I suppose it's a disappointing view for some people who would regard architects as the people who make the solutions, you know, because it's not that. But is, you know, in the messy middle, working with all kinds of designers, but as I was saying before, there still are reasons for measure and geometry and solids and so on. But now also the architect or designer that's helping to manage all kinds of tangible things about a space that has a lot to do with atmospheric chemicals and weather and climate and also being able to read the temperament in spaces, the violence that's embedded in spaces against any number of people who've long been oppressed. So it's a sense of managing that those potentials and that temperament as well. So you're working with different kinds of material in new kinds of coalitions and partnerships that are a way. In this book is not about the profession of architecture. You know, it is outside of that cul-de-sac, and it seemed like a good enough time to do it since it's completely unsustainable for our students, you know, as when they graduate. So this is looking to make other kinds of practices in other kinds of groups and partners and coalitions.
You've been listening to a Siva podcast. Thank you.